Welcome to installment 266 of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. Today's portion, we will again discuss prohibition number 250, the prohibition of eina, cheating someone in a financial transaction.
The Rambam tells us that the prohibition against fraud derives from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 14, which states, "V'chisim kurumim korla misecha," when you sell something to your friend, "ekonomi ada misecha," or buy something from him, "al teinu ishes ochiv," one cannot fool the other one. This is the prohibition of eina. And as the Rambam quotes the Sifra, which defines the prohibition here as a nas mamin, it is prohibited to overcharge a person for an object you know is really worth less in terms of its market value. You know this person is willing to pay more, and therefore you charge him more. This is known as fraud or a nas. And similarly, the buyer. If a person is buying an object, and he knows what the object is worth, and the seller doesn't exactly know, and the buyer knowingly underpays for it, this is also a fraud. According to the Torah, in other words, we have to take into consideration not only what you can get for the object, but you must take into consideration what the object is intrinsically worth on the market. We cannot have big finds that you find a good buyer or you found a sale. We have to go according to the market value. Of course, if one explicitly knows that the object is worth more, but he needs the money and tells you, "I'm selling it for such a cheap price because I need the money," in such a case, there's no prohibition against buying it for that price. But even if there is a doubt that perhaps the person doesn't know, we should nevertheless notify the person that he is in error and he is undercharging for the object. Or in the case of a buyer, that a person is selling it for a higher price, to notify the buyer that this is higher than the market value, that he could get it cheaper elsewhere on the free market. The details of this commandment are discussed in the tractate Baba Metzia in the fourth chapter. The basic categories of fraud are three, as described in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. The dividing point at which it becomes an excessive fraud is one-sixth of the value. Should it be more than one-sixth of a mistake from the regular market value, then the entire sale is batel mevutel. It is totally void. It is as if the transaction never took place. And therefore, the law is not that you must give back the money that you cheated your friend from. The law is that the sale was invalid to begin with, and you never sold it to start with. On the other hand, if it was less than a sixth, then the law is that a sixth is enough leeway that we could assume that if it has already been done, we can assume that the person didn't care about such a small amount, and therefore the deal is good and one does not have to return the leftover money. Should it be exactly one-sixth, however, this is the dividing line of eina, and there the law is that it is a good sale, as if it was less than one-sixth. However, the law is that whoever is left with the extra money must return the amount of which he gained by fraud, must be returned to the person who was cheated. There are certain exceptions to this law, both on the lenient side and on the strict side. The verse tells us, "Ekonomi yada misecha," you bought it from the hands of your friend, which means that it's something which can be physically transferable. In the Hebrew, it means metaltalin, something which is movable. A house, however, or land which is not movable, is not subject to this prohibition of a na. There is no dividing line of one-sixth over here, since it is not something which is movable. The law of a na only applies to something movable. Should it be something clearly measurable, like a certain amount of land, or a certain number of objects, or a certain weight? In this case, there is not only a limit of one-sixth, but any deviation from the amount which was agreed to is considered fraud. Therefore, although normally we say a sixth is the cutoff point, less than which a person would not necessarily care about. But if it should be something which is measurable, in that case, even one penny which was cheated, or one object which the person was shortchanged, must be returned under this prohibition of fraud. And a person cannot say, well, if it was in another place, or if it was in another time, that it would be worth a different amount of money. The law is that even the slightest deviation in the case of something which can be specifically measured must be rectified. And even if it's something which cannot be measured, and that less than one-sixth would not necessarily have to be returned, even in such a case, lechatchila, the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should treat it as a safek shel teira, that perhaps the person doesn't know about it. And therefore, even for a slight amount, a person should be machmer and notify the buyer, or the seller, however it is, that the price is too high, and too much money is being spent. In Chassidus, a few different types of einah, or fraud, are referred to. One of them is, so to speak, a type of fraud which Hashem does to Rashaim, to wicked people. As the verse in Veschanan, in Devarim, chapter 7, verse 10, says, U'mashalim l'seinav el ponav l'havidei, that God pays back those that hate him directly, but he pays them back in order to destroy them. As explanation is given, that even the most wicked person certainly has some reward which he deserves. There must be some good things he did in his life. And because of these good things, the person deserves a reward, and even an eternal reward, in Gan Eden, in the world to come, the life after death, which is the true reward. As the Rambam explains in Hilchos Tshuva, the everlasting reward, the eternal reward, something which outweighs tremendously any physical reward which could be given to a person. So what happens? This wicked person deserves a little bit of reward. However, God does not want to give it to him. He's been so wicked, he does not deserve, so to speak, any reward. However, technically, he does deserve it. He did some good things. So what does Hashem do? He pays him back strictly in this world. He gives him physical good, riches, health, and fame, and wealth. As a result, everyone looks upon this wicked person as if he's being rewarded, and the wicked person continues being wicked, since he is not punished. However, the verse reveals that Hashem gives this back to the person, U'mashalim l'seinav l'havidei. He's doing it to ultimately destroy the wicked person. That in the world to come, when everyone else is enjoying the fruits and the reward of the effort they put into their Torah and mitzvahs in this world, and are reaping the eternal benefits from their serving God in this world, the wicked person will have nothing. He's been paid back already. Later on he'll claim, why should I be left out? I also did certain good deeds. But Hashem will say, I already paid you back, and I paid you back lahavidei. And this is part of the einah. This is, so to speak, a fraud, which Hashem does to the wicked person. It looks like he's paying him back and doing something very, very nice to him. He's giving him many physical rewards. However, it's not really true. It looks like it's good. But the fact is, it's only for the person's, to harm the person, that later on, in the world to come, the person will be missing the reward that they otherwise would have had for their good deeds. Of course, Hashem does not want only to deprive the person of the reward. Rather, when physical good comes, the wicked should reflect upon why is it when he's done so many wicked things, he's getting rewarded. And he should come to a realization that Hashem must be paying him back, as it says in this verse, to take away his reward in the world to come. And hopefully this will bring him back to the proper path. As Rav Meir's wife Bruria said, when he was being bothered in his studies by a bunch of young ruffians, and Rav Meir said that they should be destroyed and pray that God should destroy them, his wife Bruria answered him. It says, Yitam chatoim min ha'aretz, that sins should be destroyed from the world and removed. Avo chetim le'namar. It doesn't say sinners should be removed from the world, only their sins. Why don't you pray better that they should do tshuva and improve themselves? And Reb Meir agreed and said, you are correct. And he did pray that they should do tshuva, and in the end they did tshuva. However, we ask that Hashem should not give us all of our reward in this world, and thereby deprive us of our reward in the world to come. As we say in our davening, in Kapitel Samach Zayin, in Tilim, before Baruch Sha'omar, Yoher Pono Vitono Sela, that your countenance should shine upon us forever. And Sela means that it should be an eternal thing, not only like the reward which comes to a wicked person, that he's paid off here, and then later on he'll have nothing. We ask for eternal reward. Yoher Pono Vitono Sela, it should be forever that your countenance shines upon us. And we should have the reward for our good deeds, not only in this world, but in the world to come as well. Another perpetrator of fraud in this world is a person's body, a nefesh abamis, the animal soul. The Jewish neshama was sent down here into the world as a representative, a shliach, of Hashem, of godliness. The soul itself is a portion of Elikus, a portion of godliness, and is brought down here to purify the world and reveal the godliness which is in the world. However, a fraud is perpetrated by the animal soul of a Jew. It tries to impress the person how good this physical world is, and impresses it with all the different sorts of physical delights, how important they are, and how necessary they are, and how could you live without this particular physical delight? Or another thing, you're living in this world. You have to be like this. And goes on and so forth, and tries to impress the neshama, impress the soul, of how beautiful and desirable this world is. And occasionally it succeeds. And this is intrinsically a fraudulent matter. The truth is that not only is the most good in the world, the spiritual good in the world, that the person should not be deceived by the attractiveness and the seductive quality of physical delights, but rather should look into the true existence behind the physical, should ignore any physical delights to get down to the truth of the matter, to the reason why Hashem created it, which is to elevate the spirituality from the physical world. But what happens? Not only the person does not see the physical good inside, but the opposite happens. Not only the person whose neshama was sent down here to purify the physical world does not accomplish its task, but the opposite happens. It forgets completely about godliness altogether. It was supposed to not only keep its holiness, but to elevate the physical world, but it was a victim of fraud. Not only is it not purifying the physical, but the physical is having an effect on it. And the soul which previously had such a strong feeling for godliness forgets about it completely. And our job is to reverse this enah, to reverse this fraud, see down to the truth of things and correct the matter and make it the true business agreement. The reason the soul was originally sent down here, to purify the world, make a dwelling place for God here in the lower world, and reveal that the whole world is godliness. Thank you for tuning in to Sefer Mitzvahs, a project of Sichos in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.